I want to share a message with you that God has laid on my heart some time ago that I believe is pertinent for today. You know, how many knows the Word of God is fresh and new? And God has a Word, not just the Word, but a Word for us. And when we come together, we always want to set ourselves in a place where we can receive from God. Come and say, Lord, I come to hear from you today. I didn't come to hear from Pastor Jan or Brother Bob. I come to hear from the Holy Ghost. And more times than not, he'll use Pastor Jan or Brother Bob or someone that has a voice, as a mouthpiece to say something or do something. But we have to recognize that it's God talking. We grab that and make it a part of our life. So this morning, I'd like to start by reading from James chapter 1 and verse 23. And while you're turning there, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for by His Word, Christian Center. I thank you for every individual that is here today, for I know they are so valuable to you. So much so, Lord, that you laid your life down for them, that they might be all that you desire for them to be. And Lord, I just simply ask you today to help me. For I know that without you, the words I say are empty. The things I do will have no power. But we rely upon your anointing. We rely upon the Holy Ghost. We just thank you, Father, that we have set our heart to hear from you. We will receive from you, Lord, today. And we will never be the same because your word will change us from glory to glory. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read some things, and I always seem like I always find myself saying this because we go into churches with great pastors who have great abilities to teach and explain and proclaim the Word of God. And so we never have and never will try to come up with something you haven't heard, because I'm sure you are fed very well and taught very well in the things of the Lord. But I believe that we have something we may say a little different or whatever, but I'm going to read some scriptures, and you'll be tempted to say, well, I heard that. Well, praise God, I'm glad you heard that. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing, so you're going to heard it again. All right? In James chapter 1, and starting at verse 23, I'm going to read from the Good News Testament. It says, if you listen to the word, but do not put it into practice, you're like people who look in a mirror, see themselves as they are. They take a good look at themselves and then go away and at once forget what they look like. Now, can you get the picture? Here is someone looks in the mirror. They get a good, clear picture of what they look like. Then they walk away from the mirror and forget what they see. Kind of like the day that I was preparing to go to town and do some errands. And, you know, I was brushing my teeth and getting my clothes on and shaving. And I noticed in the mirror, I surely have to do something with my hair. And about that time, Miss Elaine says, Bob, would you come here? And, of course, I'm the hero in the house, you know, and I have to go and meet all the needs. And so I take off, and whatever it was, I do it. The next thing I remember, I'm in my pickup truck on my way to town, and I look in the rearview mirror, and I realize I forgot something. I forgot what I looked like in the mirror. And I still look that way, too. I'm here to tell you right now. I thought, well, I'm going to do my errands, messy hair or no messy hair. I ain't going back home. Okay? So the Bible here says that if you listen to the word but don't do it, it's like looking in the mirror and forgetting what you look like. I guess we could say, why even look in the mirror? Hello? Well, I mean, unless you just want to, you know, glory over your beauty, why do you want to look in the mirror unless you're planning on responding to what you see? And so here he says, if you listen to the word but don't put it into practice, you're like people who look in the mirror and they see themselves just like they are. They walk away from the mirror and forget what they saw. Well, praise God, the word of God is not to be forgotten. Verse 25 says, but if you look closely into the perfect law that sets people free and keep on paying attention to it and do not simply listen and then forget it, but put it into practice, you will be blessed by God in what you do. How many want to be blessed by God in what you do? We just told you right here from the Word of God how to get that. Look closely into the perfect law that sets you free, or we'll just say the Word of God. Look closely into the Word of God and keep paying attention to it. Keep looking at it. Don't simply listen and forget it, but do it. That do is such a small word, but carries so much impact on our life. But do it. Then you will be blessed by God in what you do. Now, the title of my message this morning is, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. And so it's important that we understand that what we see is what we're going to get. If we're seeing the... Oh. I could close my message right now, couldn't I? Because that picture tells us volumes. Obviously, this is not a lion looking into the mirror, but the attitude of the kitty cat is one of the lion. He sees who the Word of God says he is instead of what the mirror says he is. And so when you look in the Word of God, it'll paint a different picture for you than what the world would want you to see and want you to know. So what you see is what you get. Now, I know we've all heard this, and you know, there's, how many know there's truth, then there's additional truth, and there's truth built upon truth, and we've all learned that you have what you say. Have we not learned that? What we say is so vital, but I would submit to you that most of what you say is based upon something you see. Maybe you see something in the world and causes you to say something, or maybe you see something in the Word and causes you to say something, but what we say is the result primarily of what we see. And I'm here to tell you, you get to choose what you see. You get to decide what you're going to look at in this day and hour in which we live. We all know that the world is in chaos. Well, we didn't really realize it's always been in chaos. It's just been underlying and covered up with stuff, you know. But it's just always been a mess. Ever since Adam and Eve messed up, the world's been in a mess. And so we're going to be very careful that we do not get drawn aside and fall into the trap of the world about how bad it really is. The world, I'm sorry to say, is going to hell. Hello? It is. And it's deteriorating, it's falling apart, but not the kingdom of God. Not the promises of God. Not the Word of God. That's why we've got to keep our focus upon what God said. Notice he said, if you look into the perfect law that sets you free and keep on looking at it, it will bless everything that you do. It didn't say, just so long as the unemployment rate is not 14%. Didn't say anything about that or either interest rates or anything. It talked about the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Now, you know and I know that it's relatively easy to believe God when all's well. When everything's going just hunky-dory. You know, when everything is just falling in line and blessings on every hand. Bless God, I believe in that prosperity stuff, you know. Then it starts drying up. Then for some reason, it's not coming anymore. I wonder what went wrong. Nothing went wrong. The kingdom of God is still the same. There was a little, two little boys was put in a room full of horse manure. Everybody go, pew. They were put in a room of horse manure, and this was an experiment. One little boy was sitting down over in the corner just crying his eyes out because it was stinking and it was dirty and it was messy in there. And he was just crying and boo-hooing. The other little boy's over in the corner. I mean, he's just digging with both hands in this manure. And the people look at the, what is he doing? And they said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'll tell you one thing. With all this horse manure in here, there's got to be a pony in here someplace. They both saw the same thing, but yet they didn't see the same thing. One saw corruption, one saw a mess, another saw great potential and possibility of great and mighty things. Both were motivated to action by what they saw. Both got what they saw, and you're going to get what you see. Whatsoever you see is what you're going to get. So I want to caution you to be careful what you look at. There was another little boy walking down the street one day, and he threw the ball up in the air, and he swung at it, and he missed. He said, strike one. And he thought, I've got to overcome this. So he said, I'm the greatest hitter in all the world. And so he threw the ball up in the air, and he swung, and he missed. He said, strike two, but I'm the greatest hitter in all the world. I'm the greatest hitter in all the world. And he throws the ball up, and he swings, and he misses. He says, strike three. And he says, I'm the greatest pitcher in all the world. Now, he started out with a real good vision there. He had a vision of being the greatest hitter, but he let circumstances change his vision. All of a sudden, he's no longer the greatest hitter. Now, he's the greatest pitcher. And we'll never know. He may have been the greatest hitter in all the world, but we will never know it because he let go of his vision. Just because of what he saw. Just because of what happened in his life. Let's look into the Word of God about some incidents where people got what they saw. Where what they saw was a matter of life and death. Turn to Numbers chapter 21 and we'll look at verse 4. Numbers 21 and verse 4. And this is Moses and the children of Israel. And it says, and then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Everybody go, uh-oh. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, they said. For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Have you ever read the Bible and you thought, what did they say? Have you ever read the Bible and laughed? Have you ever read the Bible and said, that doesn't make sense? Most of the time when people are in rebellion, it don't make sense. What did they say? Said, you brought us into Egypt to die. There is no food. And we hate this bread. What? Did I read that right? There's no food and we hate this bread. What is that? It's the voice of rebellion. Hello? You'll back up to the beginning of that chapter and you'll find they had just won a great military victory. But yet they're murmuring and complaining. And the Bible says they spoke against God and against Moses. You know what? I haven't found them anything saying anything against God. They were just talking to Moses the whole time. Right. Which means in talking to Moses, it was equal to talking to God, for God was leading Moses. Right. Okay. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now you read that and you think, oh my, I want to tell you something. Those serpents were there all along. God didn't create serpents that day. He said, okay, put them down there. They were there all along. And it was only until they got into rebellion and spoke against God and the leader that God had set up before them, only then was the protection that had been surrounding them removed. They were protected all along. The serpents were there all along. They were not even conscious of the serpents. They were so protected. But the moment they got into rebellion, guess what? The hand of God was lifted and the serpents began to run wild. It says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Woohoo! Revelation. We have sinned. Of course you've sinned. You've been speaking against God. And against God's man. I tell you, I wish people could get a revelation of the tremendous, terrible place they put themselves in when they start speaking against the plan of God.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord, and against you pray the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us. So now they realize they sinned, they've repented. They're saying, Moses, pray and ask the Lord to take away the serpents. It's really interesting. God didn't take away the serpents. And the Lord said to Moses, so Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make a fiery serpent, set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Let's get the picture. Fiery serpents everywhere, just like one under your pew right now. Can you feel it on the back of your leg? Woo-hoo! The coldness of it. I mean, you know. And you know, and they're hungry. And they're biting. And God didn't remove them. But he did provide a remedy. He did provide a way of escape. Now, you know, they were in the wilderness in the first place because of their doubt and unbelief years ago. They put themselves in this situation. They couldn't blame nobody but themselves. So now the snakes are crawling everywhere. And God tells Moses, you take and make a brazen serpent, a bronze serpent, stick it on a pole. What an interesting thing. But we understand that this is a picture, this is a type of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was made to be sin for us.
Right.
And so he's on the pole, and the Lord said, when you look at the pole, if you're bitten, you will not be killed. You will not die. He didn't say you won't be bitten. Did he? No, he said, when you're bitten, if you look at the serpent on the pole, you'll not die. So a lot of times we get ourselves in a mess. Oh, nobody in this church has, I know, but I know some people who have. And people get themselves in a mess, and they want to just go back to ground zero, boom, just act like none of that mess happened. God will get you out of the mess. But in the midst of the mess, there may be some biting going on. But what we're going to get in our life is what we look at. Here, these people were told, if you want to look at the serpents on the ground, you can have the serpents on the ground. But if you want to look at the serpent on the pole, you'll have what the serpent on the pole represents.
Amen.
Now, can you imagine how hard it was to keep their focus on the serpent on the pole?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just get a mental picture. Fiery serpent, they're called fiery serpent because when they bit you, it burned tremendously and then killed you. And so there are these serpents are just crawling everywhere. And they couldn't step anywhere without there being a fiery serpent. But God said, don't look at them.
Right.
Don't let them be a distraction from your deliverance. We're living in a day right now. There are fiery serpents all around. Bad news here, bad news there. Bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. And if we keep our focus on that, that's what we're going to have. Because we're going to have what we see. Whatever we see is what we're going to have. Whatever we focus on is what we're going to have. God told these people right here, yeah, you messed up, all right. You got yourself in a mess, but I'm going to have mercy on you. I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to give you a way of deliverance, and it's on this pole. If you'll look at the pole and not look at the snakes on the ground, when they bite you, it won't hurt you. When the stock market crashes, it won't kill you. When this goes wrong, it won't kill you. When this happens, it won't kill you. Glory to God. Because what you see is what you get. So it said Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. From Mount Hor to Moab now, the children of Israel moved on. There's a message right there. They moved on. Sometimes you just got to move on. See, well, you know, well, you don't know what I've been through. I like that word through.
Yes.
How many know there's a difference in going through and being through? I mean, if you through, then be through with it.
Amen.
And go on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So you can see here that they brought judgment on themselves because of their disobedience, but was delivered from the judgment by obedience. If they simply obeyed what God told them to do. Now, the Amplified Bible of verse 9 says, when he looked to the serpent of bronze attentively, expectingly, with a steady and absorbing gaze, he lived. Let me explain that to you just a little bit here. Okay? What that means is, they couldn't say, No. He said, when it's like this, you keep your eye on the brazen serpent. You ignore the ones on the ground. It's as though they're not there. They're there, but it's as though you're not there. Because God gave you the remedy. He told you, if you will keep your focus on the brazen serpent? Or could we just say, keep your focus on the Word of Almighty God and let it tell you who you are, what you are, what you have, what you can do, and where you're going and all those things. Let that be the thing that causes the picture to be built on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what's happening around you. Then you will succeed. It wouldn't really be easy, I don't think, to do that. Probably take some discipline. Probably take some determination. You know, it may even, you look around and see one of your neighbors forget to look. And you realize, boy, I don't want to do that. I guess they really are biting. I better keep my eye on the Word of God. Hello? So, you know, you have to determine. Because the Bible says there's many voices in the land. There's many things trying to draw your attention. Many things trying to get you caught up in the thought processes of the world. The world is destined to fail. It cannot succeed. It is not built on the kingdom principles. It is not built on the Word of God. It is built on the God of this world's way of doing things. And He come to kill, steal, and destroy. And so if we operate that way, inevitably we're going to lose.
Amen.
So you have to look at the serpent attentively, paying attention, expectantly, steadily, and an absorbing gaze. Keep your eye on the unchanging, uncompromising Word of God. If God said it, He will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So like I said, God didn't promise no bites. He didn't promise, you know, the snakes would leave. He just said you'll live through it. He just said you'll succeed through it. When it's all said and done, you'll be standing there with the trophy. You'll be standing there with the crown. You'll be standing there, bless God, I have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Glory to God. I got to be careful when I preach this because, you know, a guy could tend to get a little excited. You really got to be careful. You could get emotional and stuff. So what they saw is what they got. What I'm saying is they got to determine what they got by what they chose to fix their gaze upon, just like we do today. You know, I'm not saying ignore what's happening in society. That'll help you pray, help you know what to pray. You know, I'm not saying, you know, pretend it's not happening, because it is happening. But I'm here to tell you the Word of God is unchangeable. And if God promised it, the only reason He promised it is because He wanted to do it. He wants to do it for you. There's another incident in the Bible, in the New Testament, I like to look at that basically tells us the same thing. But I want to share this with you. And here again, it's probably something you've already heard, but it's found in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 26 and several verses there after that. It says, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, that would be Jesus, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now, how many knows the disciples saw something? Did I read that? Did I read when the disciples saw Him? Now that was Jesus. When they saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. Anytime fear comes, if you'll listen, Jesus will immediately speak to you. The Word of God will immediately come to you and eradicate the fear. That is, if you've been looking at the Word, if you've got the Word in your heart. Okay, and Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water. Wow. Now, let's think for a moment. They saw something. And then that something they saw identified itself as Jesus.
Yeah.
The first thing they saw caused them to have fear. Then when Jesus identified Himself as such, faith rose up in at least one of them. And he decided to say, okay, if that's You, Jesus, You bid me come. Now, what's Jesus going to say? It ain't me. That was the only alternative that Peter gave him. If it's you, tell me to come. That's one of those funny things, I think. So Jesus said, come on. It's me. Okay. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water. Say, Peter walked on the water. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know, that's impossible. Well, maybe it's not for you, but I have never been able to accomplish that. Maybe out here in Tacoma, you've got that down where you can walk on water. You got a lot of water around here. I see that. So, but the nearest I could tell, Peter is doing the impossible. He's walking on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw, everybody say he saw. When he saw that the wind was boisterous and he was afraid. Remember, we started out in this fear thing. Jesus dealt with the fear thing. And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, but he saw something. He saw something that got him out of the boat. Now he's out of the boat and he's seeing something else. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Peter, he's done a couple of miraculous things. First of all, he walked on the water. And then whenever he even got into some doubt and unbelief, he learned how to begin to sink. How do you do that? It's a beginning to sink. That means he was ankle deep. Now he's knee deep. Now he's down to his hips and he's working his way right on down. I haven't got that down either. Well, the point I'm trying to make is what he saw got him out of the boat. What did he see? He saw Jesus, or could we say the Word of God. And it spoke to him and said, come. Don't tell me the Word doesn't have power. C-O-M-E is all Jesus said. And there was enough faith in C-O-M-E to get Peter not just out of the boat, but walking on. He wasn't walking in the water. He was walking on the water. All right? But he got distracted. He got distracted. It says he saw the wind boisterous. You know, it's easy to walk on the water on a calm day. That had absolutely nothing to do with what was going on here. But he saw the wind boisterous. And his mind began to tell him, you can't do this. Look where you are. The boat's way over there and Jesus is way over there and you're out here. All because of what he saw. Now, if he'd have kept his eye on Jesus, if he had kept his focus on the Lord who had said, come, we would not have a story in the Bible except Peter got out and walked on the water and went to Jesus. But something happened in the middle. And what happened in the middle was he got distracted. He got his focus off of the truth. He got his focus off of reality in the spirit realm. For the Lord himself had said, come. And God will never tell you to do something you cannot do. Your brain may say, you can't do that. But if God says you can do it, you'll do it through his power and his strength. Right. Peter gets out of the boat and he walks on the water. He begins to see the problem. Then he begins to sink. Yeah. And he's beginning to think, this is not working. Something's going wrong here. Now the waves are getting bigger. The negative report's getting louder. But Jesus said, immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith. Little faith. Little faith? Little faith got him out of the boat. If your little faith will get you out of the boat, think what your great faith will do. It'll transport you across the water. And Peter flew across the water. I don't know that would happen, but I'm just saying. Little faith Why did you doubt? I'll tell you why he doubted. Because he got his focus off of God and His Word and got his focus on the things in this life and in this world. The same thing will happen to us. If we keep our eye upon Jesus, we'll be walking on top of the demons and the devils and the lies and the deceptions. We'll be walking on top of all the things that is brought our way to try to get our focus in a different direction. Satan knows the Word of God cannot, will not, and shall not ever fail. Amen. And if he can get us off of the Word of God, then we become vulnerable. God told Moses, you make a bronze snake, put it on a stick, and if they'll look at that bronze snake, when the snakes bite them, it won't hurt them. He was establishing a truth here. You keep your eye on the Word of God. I think it's good that we listen to the news and be abreast of the facts in the world and help us pray and help us. You know, sometimes God will use that and say, well, you need to prepare this. You need to do this and that, so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we're consumed, if we're just consumed by, you know, watching the news 24 hours a day, I remember one time John Osteen, he got on a plane, if I'm not mistaken, and he got on a plane and he had his Bible in his hand and he sat down beside a man reading the newspaper. And he just said, you got the bad news? I got the good news. There's a story in that I'm going to tell you. I'm not saying you can't read the newspaper. I'm just saying realize there is some truth that supersedes that. Absolute truth by God. Now, when Peter began to look at the wrong things, it caused him to sink. Jesus was still right there. Jesus never abandoned him at the whole time. All the waves are lapping up against his knees. Now, Jesus is still standing right there on the water. You get caught up in the things of the world, but the Word of God is still right there. The promise of God is still right there. And so I want to help you. If you've got a little off on your focus, get your focus back upon what the Word of God has to say about you. And it'll be amazing what you overcome. Glory to God. I know not too long ago we were driving of an evening. And I faced this car and had his bright lights on. And he, for some reason, either didn't know it or whatever, but for whatever reason did not dim his lights. And of course, you learn through the years that you don't look at them lights because they'll blind you. So what do you look at? You don't close your eyes. I'm really glad that, I don't know, I guess they do it here, but you know, somewhere along the line, they got smart enough, they started painting a white line along the outside. And you keep your focus on that. And you know the lights are coming, but you just let them go on and you don't look at them. You look at something that you can depend on to get you through the situation. Well, I'm here to tell you that there may be things coming down the road right now to you, but keep your eye on the white line. Keep your eye on the Word of God, because this too will pass. And it will pass in a defeated form. It will not have a right in your life. So let me ask you a question. What are you seeing? What are you spending your energy on looking at? There's a lot of God's people discouraged today. Probably not you, because I know what you hear here. I know what's available here. But you know, sometimes we preach things to you so you can help somebody. Amen? You may say, I don't need it. Well, somebody does. Somebody needs it. Okay, and so if you got some Christian friends that are discouraged, all distressed, and all they want to talk about is the economy or the lack of it. Like one guy told me, I used to have a 401k, now I got a 101k. Well, we understand. we know what he's talking about. But that's all he can talk about. And it was a reality, but the Word of God is of greater reality. And so if you've got people who are singing this song, I know this is a very popular song. This was a TV show that, I mean, it probably was top of the charts. It was called Hee Haw. Anybody ever seen Hee Haw? Well, you missed half your life if you haven't seen Hee Haw.
Well, Hee Haw.
I'm not getting distracted. I'm keeping my focus on what God said. Amen? Well, they had a song they sung on there that I think kind of describes some people today. And it went something like this. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Now that's not the Christian song. That's not the song of victory. That's not the song of overcoming. But if we get caught up in what we see around us, snakes on the ground, waves lapping at our feet, whatever the case may be, bad economic news, bad job situation, bad family situation, whatever it may be that's coming our way, if we get caught in that and that becomes our focus, that'll be our song. You may not sing that song, but you'll find a song. And that'll be the song. But if we look continually, remember, we started out by the person who looks continually into the Word of God and sees who He really is and does not walk away and forget who He is, that person will be blessed in everything that he does. You'll be singing this song. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Vast different than I got another verse or two there I could sing. But you're clapping because I'm not, I know. Reminds me of a lady I was talking to one time. I taught on finding your place in a local church or something you can do, you know. And I happened to mention that day about maybe you can sing in the choir or maybe you can do this and that. She comes to me and says, Brother Bob, I can't sing. I said, I got some advice for you. Don't. Please don't. So let me just sum it up this way. We're given a choice every day. Given a choice today. What is it that has our attention? Where is our main focus? Because what we see is what we get. Put that picture back up there, would you please? Is it up there? Okay. What we see. So when you look in the mirror, what do you see? When you look into the Word of God, you know, sometimes I've looked in the Word of God and I don't like what I see there because it pointed out some things I needed to change. I pointed out some areas in my life I needed to make some modifications called repentance. Praise God for the truth. It's kind of like spiritually you need to comb your hair. If you forget it, then you won't get the blessing. Close your eyes with me this morning. Heavenly Father, I've done my best to share the message, the simple message you've given me. We can choose what we focus on. We can choose what has our attention in these turbulent times. I thank you, Father, that we can walk on the water, that we can walk over the obstacles. I thank you, Father God, that you always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Lord, I'm just asking you to take what we've shared today. Speak to every heart in this place. Help each one of us, Lord, to reevaluate where we are and what we're seeing and what's motivating us. Are we like the little boy sitting in the corner crying because he was in a mess? Or are we like the little boy digging through the mess, finding the treasure? I thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost that takes the simple words that we have spoke today and ministers to our hearts and encourages us and tells us that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment, it will be condemned. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Jan. I'm sure he's got some more things to do, say. Hallelujah. Thank you for being such a receptive group of people today. God bless you, Pastor.